This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to talk about something a little different this hour. The Mayor's Office of Transportation, in coordination with the Department of Public Works, they've begun updating residents on the blueprint for a citywide low-stress bikeway network as part of Moving New Orleans Bikes, MNOB, the initiative part of the broader Moving New Orleans transportation vision laid out by Mayor Cantrell, will dramatically and rapidly expand safe, accessible biking and walking throughout New Orleans neighborhoods. And joining us in the studio is Dan Favre, Executive Director of Bike Easy, right? And Dan Jotras, Policy and Program Manager, Mayor's Office of Transportation. We're waiting on Blake Owens, Get Up and Ride, to join us here shortly. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So, Dan, from the mayor's perspective, obviously there's some infrastructure involved in here. This has not probably been the most bike-friendly city, not unlike a lot of other cities that have yet to go through this transformation. What stimulated this, and what were you guys thinking about in getting involved in this endeavor?
Sure. Really, the goal is of the Moving New Orleans plan overall is around safety, connectivity, efficiency, and equity. So we want to provide a transportation network that gives people options for how they're going to get around town, whether to jobs, to visit family, to the corner market. And New Orleans, you know, we have a lot of people that don't have access to a private car. So we want to have a system that's not solely reliant on motor vehicle transportation. We want to make sure we have robust transit options, walking options, bicycling options. So that's really the goal that we're trying to provide here.
One of the things unique about the city and kind of lends itself to this is that things are relatively close here as opposed to other cities. I mean, so unlike L.A. or San Diego or Seattle or, you know, pick a city.
Exactly.
Things are close here.
We have a lot of natural advantages that come from the layout of our city. We've still have a pretty intact street grid, so there's a lot of roads that people can use. We've got that small, compact area that the city is occupying, so that makes the distances shorter and gives people, you know, a lot more options to use options other than cars.
So Dan Favre, you're the executive director of Bike Easy, a not-for-profit foundation really around the education of working in this cycling, involved in this matrix of everything that's going on in a city or in an urban area, right?
Totally, yeah. There's a lot going on with bicycling and mobility, and, you know, Bike Easy is proud to be a part of that. So, you know, our mission as a nonprofit is to make bicycling easy, safe, and fun for everyone in greater New Orleans. So, you know, we focus on the city of New Orleans, but also the region. And, yeah, like you mentioned, do a lot of safety education. So that's everything from, you know, teaching teachers how to, give the skills to their fourth and fifth graders to walk and bike safely, to working with adults, to doing community events like Bike to Work Day and a Bicycle Second Line. And then we also work closely building community support and engagement around, you know, infrastructure and policies to, you know, advocating for streets that are built to share, that are safe for everyone, whether biking, walking, taking the bus or driving. And that's something that, you know, we've worked with the mayor on since before she was even in the mayor's office and as a council member. And it's been really great to see, you know, the Office of Transportation come into existence. And now with the Moving New Orleans plans, of course, we really love the focus on Moving New Orleans bikes as one of the steps to really providing those options that Dan's talking about in terms of enabling people to get around however they choose, where they're going, whether to the park or to work. And then we also try to help provide people with the knowledge outside of, you know, great streets that are built to share. We also need to make sure everyone knows the rules of the road and how, you know, the skills and strategies for cycling around safely, or making sure that you know how to drive around people that are biking safely, and what everyone's role is there. So we work to do a lot of that education.
So the devil's in the details. When you say the rules of the road, that's the one that I think has a lot of people really concerned. I mean, for those of us that have had the benefit of traveling abroad, and have seen you know, the intermingling of cycling and in the traffic and scooters and whatever. It's different there. It's almost in their culture of the manner in which they transport from, you know, A to B. What's the biggest challenge here? It was amazing. I'm turning right off of Poydras this morning onto Magazine. There's a gentleman waiting there at the corner. Now, he has the right-of-way. He's in the pedestrian walkway. I stop, and I let him go. And he looks at me, and he gives me the double take, and he's, like, completely shocked that I stopped and let him walk across the walkway. In other areas of the country, that's the expectation. You know, here, it's almost a challenge. And when you think about, you know, cycling, too, is that one of the biggest concerns, you know, from the educational standpoint and the challenge there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think everyone can do better on the roadways, right? And a lot of times, you know, I'll have people tell me to get on the sidewalk when I'm biking along, right? And that's actually quite illegal for an adult to ride on the sidewalk. But I think that, you know, again, everyone can do better. One of the things that we see a lot in the bicycling community is people biking against traffic, right? Which is actually one of the more dangerous things you can do. So we need to make sure that when you're riding your bike, you're going with traffic, right? And then same with driving, things like making sure that you're slowing down and passing someone on a bike with 3 feet. You know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what the one is. Like your example of crosswalks and how they should be treated is a great one, because I think that both, you know the rules and you are abiding by them, and the person walking was surprised, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this idea that's like we need to across the board have everyone be understanding what the other people's roles are and looking out and just being respectful and patient on the roadways is a big thing too. I think a lot of times what people's convenience ends up trumping safety, right? And what we really need to do is like, hey, we can all get to where we're going safely if we look out for one another on the roadways and, you know, make sure that the roadways are built in the right way so that it's easy to do. But of course, we need that cultural, that social component as well.
So that one accommodates the other. It's funny. I mean, I remember it vividly from this morning. Guy looked at me almost like I was a two-headed Gila monster. And was like, you know, where the hell are you from?
Yeah.
Right? It was kind of interesting. Blake Owens joins us, Get Up and Ride. And I know, you know, you have an interest in this from an entrepreneurial standpoint of offering cycling opportunities for folks here in this city. And what's your take on this overall program and as it progresses forward?
I feel good about it. I think it's time that, you know, we all get on one accord. I feel like drivers, there's a big separation between drivers and bikers, and you know, it starts with everybody understanding what to do, what not to do, and how it all works. It's gonna take a while. I honestly think for people, like Dan said, you know, just not used to the rules. You know, I've had people tell me ride on the sidewalk and with a serious face, and it's like, you understand that that's the last thing I'm supposed to do. So I think it's good, especially with what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah, go in the French Quarter and try and ride that bike on that
side. Yeah.
With what I'm doing, you know, we brought a lot of people who didn't really bike a lot socially, you know, as far as my group. So, you know, it was like a crash course in the beginning.
I love seeing those groups at night with the wheels all lit up,
yeah,
riding around in the Warehouse District or in the Quarter, having a damn good time. In fact, I'm going to pay somebody one night. Can I just get on this bike and ride with y'all? Because it looks like
you can ride with us tonight.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
looks like a heck of a lot of fun. Yeah,
we have a ride tonight. It should be a couple hundred people.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
And where do y'all start from?
High Ho Lounge at
8
o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. And everybody's got the lit up wheels. And
For the most part, yeah.
I need the bling, baby. Without the bling, it's
nothing. I got a bike just for you with lights and everything.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about infrastructure and what the city is going to envision. We know of some of the streets that they've already transformed into having these bike lanes accommodated, you know, accommodations for bikes. And we'll talk more about that when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back with Dan Jatras, Policy and Program Manager, Mayor's Office of Transportation, Dan Favre, Executive Director, Bike Easy, and Blake Owens from Get Up and Ride, talking about this extensive action plan put together by the city of trying to weave in this notion of, not this notion, but this reality of bike travel amongst the streets in the city of New Orleans. I was curious about, in the implementation of this, is there a prioritization of, you know, like destinations going from point A to point B, of where we know that there's probably would be a strong desire for this bike traffic? And are we thinking about bike racks and things of that nature to be able to, you know, lock your bike up and have it? And I'll tell you this little anecdotal story. When I used to go to the LSU football games and I had season tickets, parking was always a problem. So I'd park way off campus. I'd bring my bike, get on my bike, and ride to Tiger Stadium. And right the gate that I went into, there was a bike rack right there. Pulled right up, parked the bike, locked it, and walked right into Tiger. It was the greatest way ever to get to Tiger Stadium. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is sitting in traffic, and I'm just rolling along. They had a bike path, and it was great.
Yeah, no, that's a great option. And, you know, we've got plenty of events and locations here. That, you know, I think Jazz Fest is an example that people that maybe only use their bike once a year to go to Jazz Fest know that that's the quickest, easiest way.
They call those the smart people.
Yeah. Why wait in the traffic? Why, you know, pay high prices to park? You can hop on a bike and be over at the fairgrounds real quick. And there's plenty of examples around the city of locations and events where bikes are and can be an easy and affordable option. When we did our first round of public meetings in April, that was one of the questions we were asking to the public, as well as on the online engagement. What are the destinations that you want to be able to access in the city? And it really came down to the highest categories that people wanted to access were employment, entertainment, recreational park areas. And then those are just the top categories, but we could see specific locations people were highlighting. So if we look at, they really clustered along places that anyone wants to get to, not just people riding bikes.
Right.
So you see the clusters on commercial corridors like Magazine Street or Canal Street. So there's a lot of similarities there, and we were able to use that input then, along with many of the other questions that we posed to the public, to help inform what the citywide network would look like.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about in the Warehouse District, all the museums, and then you think about the new Children's Museum going out to City Park and the opportunities that there are there, especially in sharing that experience with your child, you know, and being able to go out there in a safe fashion, you know, where they have a lane of travel designated for you in that respect. Now, you guys, some of y'all went out to Seville in Spain, because they have done an extensive kind of workover, reengineering of a lot of what they did in order to encourage this, because one, the traffic there was horrible. Two, they had the economics worked great for a lot of folks that worked in downtown Seville and wanted to be able to ride a bike, which a lot of similarities to New Orleans in many respects.
Yeah, it was really an enlightening experience to get to go out there and do this study tour and see how, you know, Seville went from relatively very little to almost no bike infrastructure to blossoming out to, you know, I forget the number, 70, 80 miles of interconnected and protected bike lanes. So the key here is that the bikeways were separated from the driving traffic. So they were either raised up or with little bollards blocking it and stuff like that. So there's a real clear delineation of where the folks driving are supposed to be, where the folks biking are supposed to be. And they managed to, you know, get, I think it's about 70,000 people a day that are riding bikes now there, that went from almost none to like this huge growth. And part of the real key was the idea of having this network, right? This connected, network where bike lanes are either connecting to another bike lane or getting you to your destination, right, where you want to go. And that helped everyone, you know, from, you know, we saw young people biking around a lot to seniors, you know, everyone in between, feeling comfortable getting out there and using this other mobility option, which then, yeah, relieves traffic congestion and stress on the streets. It, it dovetailed nicely with a lot of the transit system there, too. So you could ride your bike and then take the bus or the tramway and things like that. And it's there are a lot of similarities, port city, kind of, you know, old road layout, historic downtown, a lot of things that really we were able to see the parallels for New Orleans and how we could bring, you know, some of the lessons of what they experienced about a decade ago in Seville to how we could move forward here in New Orleans with ensuring that everyone can get around safely by bicycle without inconveniencing people walking and driving at the same time.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but in Seville, did they not also create this huge opportunity for bike tours? of tourists that were coming in that they were now able to go and see a number of the sites, you know, and felt like in a much safer fashion with bike touring.
Yeah, there was definitely, we got to see a lot. We went on a lot of bike tours ourselves, you know, that was like learning more about the infrastructure. But along the way, you're seeing all the great historical stuff and saw a lot of other tours happening and whatnot. And so I think it was, while they did a good job of making sure they were serving the residents as well, because the network went way out to the hinterlands, it does make it easier for tourists moving around the more downtown areas.
Are there any cities that y'all in U.S. cities, I should say, that y'all are thinking about visiting that has done something similar, that has kind of set the standard here in the U.S.?
So there's a number of cities that have components that we can look at. As you know, as close as some of our neighbors here in the Southeast, you know, Houston has done some really amazing things recently. There's, of course, then the cities that are probably more well-known nationally, like Portland or, right, or Washington, D.C., that do a lot. So we can pick
Let's talk about that when we come out of this break. When we return, we'll continue this conversation about setting up a cycling infrastructure in this city for those that want to move around, go to work, entertainment, leisure, whatever, on a bike. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're talking about biking. We're talking about cycling. And if you can't tell in the sound of my voice, it's one of the things that I truly enjoy, cycling. I can't run worth a damn, but I can ride a bike forever and a day, and I can walk for a pretty good distance, too. And we're visiting with Dan Jatras, Policy and Program Manager of the Office of Transportation for the Mayor, Dan Favre, Executive Director of Bike Easy, and Blake Owens of Get Up and Ride. Blake, are you seeing a momentum that's being created? Because I see more and more people in bikes. You know, these blue bikes seem to create a new opportunity and momentum out there, and there are more folks that are renting bikes. I don't know if that's part of what you do as well. But there's a lot of opportunity, and I was telling the guys before you came in, there's not a morning that I come to this office at 400 Poydras and I don't see somebody with a knapsack on their back, a bike, you know, straps around their suit. Ian, my production guy right here, he rides a bike to work every day. Rain or shine, he's like the postman. <You know? laughs> When it's raining out there, I can tell because he's damn wet.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely see a uptake in people on bikes. I think you have groups that are doing it for social reasons, and they're getting back on that bike, and they're remembering how fun it was to ride a bike. You know, when we started doing our rides, we would get a lot of people that would say, you know, I've never done this in 10, 20 years. And then at the end of the ride, they say, I'll be back next week. You know, it's like they remember how much fun it is. And then, you know, you see different things going on as far as the infrastructure changing, and, you know, it makes people feel a little more safer about riding. You know, a lot of times people think of the people who are riding and, you know, in their 20s, 30s, but, you know, the kids are what's most important when it comes to this infrastructure. You know, senior citizens, you know, like not just biking but walking, you know, it's just, you know, you're hearing things about the infrastructure change, and I think at first you're going to hear more the complaints and, you know, the stuff that, you know, makes them uncomfortable or, you know, just...
Well, progress has inconvenience associated with this. I mean, you know... It drives me crazy sometimes when people, you know, all they want to do is complain. If we're going to progress, you got to go through a little pain and inconvenience in order to you know, experience progress. Right?
And, you know, one thing, I was actually on in Seville with Dan, and one thing we talked to a lot of the officials about was the, you know, the anger and, you know, in the beginning, you know, that knowing changes were coming and they'd have to be inconvenienced in whatever way. But in the end, once it's laid out and it's done, nobody would go back, you know, everybody.
They wouldn't change it.
They wouldn't change it, you know. So it's kind of about getting over that hump and educating everybody on what's going on, just so we can get over that hump and show people this is better for New Orleans moving forward, you know.
And I come back to this point in this city. It really lends itself to that because we're landlocked. We just, there's no place to really expand to, right? We're surrounded by water. You know, you got what you got. As we hopefully grow and we create more in-migration, you have to create more opportunities to move oneself from point A to point B.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to, exactly as you're saying, to accommodate that growth, we want to have that transportation network that can absorb that growth. And, you know, I think we see it. There's only so many cars you can fit on I-10. There's only so many cars that you
have.
There are
too many
space.
Now, by the way.
So if we have a network that gives people those options so that they can take a bus in from I-10 or from New Orleans East, or if they can hop on a bike and come down to 400 Poydras, that helps spread around the demand on the transportation network to those different modes and helps benefit everybody else, not just that individual person that is choosing, you know, to ride the bus or to ride a bike.
You know, when you think about the changes in the mindset of what was once taking a cab and then growing to Uber, Lyft, and all these other alternative means of transportation, people are actually looking for alternatives, because the popularity of those companies wouldn't be what they are if they weren't looking for those alternatives, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's comes back to this idea of options. Clearly, as more options are on the table for how to get around, people are taking advantage of them. And, you know, bicycling's been an option in some form or fashion since in New Orleans since the 1880s, right? But it's kind of gone in its ebbs and flows of popularity. But I think right now, as we're seeing a larger demand for different types of mobility, bicycling is one of those, right? Over the last 15, 20 years, we've seen huge growth in the number of people biking for different reasons. And I think that momentum, as you mentioned earlier, continues to this day. But I think, again, it's really awesome that the city is coming at it from a big picture perspective of all the modes, right? It's moving New Orleans. How does the biking fit in with the transit riding, making sure that things are working for people driving too, right? We want to make things less stressful and safer for everyone on the roadways. And turns out in places where you build good protected bike lanes, you actually make it safer for people driving as well, and clearly for people biking. And so I think that there's so much to gain when we make sure that all of these pieces are coming together, that people walking are really supported and able to, you know, walk to lunch downtown without feeling like you're going to get run over. You know, this crosswalk example you used earlier, right? Everyone kind of respecting that and having both the physical and social infrastructure that supports it. And I think that, you know, the rise of Uber and Lyft and their branching out into lots of different ways of thinking about how we get around, it's only going to continue that way. But one of the best, you know, options has been around for over 100 years, and that's, you know, riding your bike. It's really a great way to get where you're going.
Yeah, I mean, it actually reduces the demands on public transportation in many respects. I mean, you don't have, and if you go to major housing areas where you have density, it really makes a lot of sense there in so many different ways. And I guess you were talking about Houston and some of the other cities that have been very forward-leaning, Portland, I know, being one, Seattle, I think, being another, where they've identified these opportunities. That's why I said the prioritization of getting from, you know, one point to another destination and making sure that they were linking that the same way that they work out the prioritization of building an interstate highway, you know, knowing that there's a lot of people that travel from this area to that area. So, you know, do we prioritize in making sure that it's safe sidewalks, safe roadways, safe bike lanes?
Yeah, I mean, safety is definitely one of the top priorities, if not the top priority. But it, like you're saying, it's really about having that network. We want to have a complete interconnected network so you can get to those destinations. Having an isolated facility here or there
doesn't accomplish much.
Is progress, but it doesn't have the multiplier effect that a network has. So the blueprint is the full build out citywide to connect all the neighborhoods and bring all the benefits of a low stress network to everybody. But in terms of implementation, we want to prioritize some projects up front to really demonstrate what that impact can be when we have the interconnected network.
So have y'all named projects thus far? I know y'all have accomplished some down here in the DDD and in the CBD. Are there other projects that y'all are working towards at the present time?
That'll be our next stage of public outreach, starting towards the end of August.
Okay, well, let's talk about that when we come back.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hi, we're back. We're talking to Dan Jatras, Policy and Program Manager for the Mayor's Office of Transportation, Dan Favre, Executive Director of Bike Easy, and Blake Owens from Get Up and Ride. We're talking about this prioritization, and you said the next stage of this and building this out is to have some public input.
Yeah, so we're right now doing our public input on the network plan. The final meeting for that is Thursday night, just down the street at the main library.
This Thursday?
This Thursday, the 8th.
At what time?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Main library. Loyola and Tulane.
God forbid if Ian shows up. That's all I can tell you.
So that'll be a chance for the public to continue to give us feedback on this draft network vision. Then we'll start moving into the implementation, and we're going to have the first set of meetings. We're finalizing the logistics on the times and locations by the end of August to start talking about a first round of quick build implementation towards this network in the downtown and adjacent neighborhoods. In addition to, you know, other projects that are happening citywide where we can take advantage of this road project or that road project to, okay, what do we want to include here to provide those options via this project?
So a lot of the infrastructure dollars that are already dedicated can be utilized and leveraged for the purposes of this, because it is a mode of transportation and it falls within the definitions, I would assume, of a lot of that funding, correct?
Exactly. And a lot of progress that New Orleans has made in the last 15 years came about from that kind of smart approach of, we're making an investment here on this street. What can we do so that this street functions better for everybody instead of just returning it to the way it was? So the city was able to expand the existing network from 11 miles in 2005 to 130 miles today. So we want to continue that kind of smart approach of making sure that the investments we're making in our roads are maximized to their fullest.
Guys, did y'all notice that in Seville, wide sidewalks on the major avenues and plazas and things of that nature? Because it's one, when I was in Spain, it was one of the things I noticed right away. Is they made it very easy to get around as a pedestrian. I didn't drive, obviously. It's probably a good thing. But, you know, but just walking around, you kind of notice these things when you – and I guess were y'all clued in like that too? I mean, looking at the biking, you know, the cycling and –
Yeah.
We were definitely looking at how all the modes interact, and I think Seville has done some, along with when they were expanding the bike network, there was actually some moves, especially in some of the downtown areas, towards greater pedestrianization. So taking some streets and making them, you know, more like walking plazas and how all that interacts. And, you know, and it felt very smooth and easy. There was fewer conflicts when there's enough space. You know, everyone, as long as everyone has their piece of the road, everyone's got peace on the road, right? And it's like a nice...
I like that. Say that.
There's peace on the road when everyone has the piece of the road, right? Yeah. And so I think that was pretty clear in Seville, and having those, you know, wide sidewalks. And, you know, again, you don't need a bike lane in every place. Sometimes it's more important to have walking space or have, you know, where people drive. And so it's being really thoughtful and careful about how it's planned out and implemented. And that's part of what's so exciting about the network and, you know, the immense amount of community engagement that's happened through the development of this vision that's, you know, out in the public now. I hope folks do come to the meeting on Thursday to really get to know it and weigh in on it, because there is just so much that's gone into it. And I think as we move towards implementation, it's going to benefit everyone on the roadways, even if you never ride a bike.
One of the things that stuck out to me was how quickly and easily it was to figure out what to do in Seville. You know, being in a place where, you know, I've never been before, I immediately knew where I could ride, where I could walk, what to do. And being in New Orleans, a place full of, you know, so much tourist activity, you know, it gives you that confidence to move around, you know, just knowing it's clear and it's, you know, it's easy to figure out. I think that compares very well down here.
You know, it's interesting. It's not often that I have the opportunity on any of these projects where you have kind of the end user, not-for-profit, and the government in the same room talking the same language on the same sheet of music trying to work out this piece of the road for peace. Yeah. And I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're going to come back right after the break for y'all's final thoughts when we return. We're back, and we've been talking about cycling in the city of New Orleans and the infrastructure plan, and as they solicit input from the public this Thursday, 6 o'clock at the main library on Loyola, right?
Yes.
You can weigh in there. Dan Jatris with Policy and Program Manager for the Mayor's Office of Transportation, Dan Favre, Executive Director of Bike Easy, and Blake Owens from Get Up and Ride. Final thoughts, guys.
We just really want to make sure that we continue engaging the public. We've had this really great process meeting with the community, all the council districts we've held meetings in the last few months, and people have come to us with really great observations, great ideas, and that has informed the network plan that we're now bringing back to people to show them how we've incorporated their feedback. So we really just want to keep engaging with people, and that, touching on your previous point, that's why working with community partners like Bike Easy and Get Up and Ride is so important. They can help make sure that the community is connected into this whole process.
Yeah, no, we're super excited at Bike Easy for all the momentum and, thankful for the hard work that's being put in by folks in government and the community and everyone coming together, and very much looking forward to, seeing more mobility options out there for everyone. So, yeah, please come out to the meetings and stay involved in the coming years.
Blake?
Yeah, same thing. Just if there's never been a better time to get involved and, be a part of the change in your neighborhood. Don't let it happen and complain about it later if you didn't use your voice.
Yeah. How's the reception been overall? Everybody's been very receptive?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of good commentary from people. It's not just, oh, we like this, we don't like this. It's, oh, I would like to see X, Y, or Z, or have you thought about this as a way to accomplish it? So
constructive.
Yeah, very constructive.
Mm-hmm. That's unique.
Patience.
All right, guys. You probably got some looks just like I got from that guy when I let him walk across the crosswalk this morning. Want to thank everybody for their participation today. Had a great time, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody again tomorrow.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.